Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 11th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Fresh signs of a dovish Fed send stocks to record highs.
Bets for a 50-point cut rise while forecasts for Treasury yields fall.
Oil gains as a potential hurricane heads for the Gulf of Mexico.
And Deutsche Bank is dragged into a U.S. probe over one MDB.
Tensions rise after the U.K. says Iranian vessels tried to block a commercial tanker. Plus, ex-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's no-prison deal is in doubt. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, it's a battle of heavyweights at Wimbledon. Serena Williams moves one step closer, and the Nets, they get creative with the cap.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks and bonds are rising as we head into the second day of congressional testimony from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 2.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.79%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 31 cents at $60.74 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.9% or $12.60 to $14.25.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1271 against the dollar, the yen 108.07. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with fresh signs that rates are heading lower after testimony from Jerome Powell.
We see what we've called cross currents, principally trade developments and concerns over global growth. Many FOMC participants at the last meeting saw those as weighing on the outlook and calling for possibly more accommodative policy.
The Fed chairman's comments on Capitol Hill have traders all but certain a rate cut is on the way this month. Former Richmond Fed President Al Broaddus.
It is, a done deal now. You know, at the end of the June FOMC meeting, there was a strong expectation that the Fed might cut rates in July. But then we got that strong jobs report, and that raised some doubts. But in his testimony, the chairman, I think, erased those doubts. He said that's not going to stop them.
And bets on a 50 basis point cut this month are on the rise again, while Treasury yields decline.
Citigroup says yields on 2-year notes could slide as low as 1% by the end of 2020. And that has traders asking if this could be the first in a series of rate cuts to counter slowing growth. PIMCO portfolio manager Aaron Brown.
Going forward, the question for the market really in terms of the sustainability of these moves that we're seeing is this a one-time insurance cut or is it going to be a more sustained cut going forward? Are we likely at the onset of a rate cutting cycle?
And we'll look for more signs of that in Powell's second day of testimony a little after 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
Now, but just before that, tune in for a conversation with the new president of the Richmond Fed. Tom Barkin sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10, just ahead of Powell's Q&A session with senators.
But first, we get data on U.S. inflation at 8:30. Economists predict the Consumer Price Index showed no change in June. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
In May, the CPI eked out a 0.1% increase, the weakest showing since January. The trend probably continued in June. Bloomberg Economics sees lower gasoline prices depressing today's headline data. The strong dollar, in turn, has held import prices in check. Beneath the headline, service costs could nudge core CPI, which excludes food and energy, a bit higher. But as Fed Chair Jerome Powell told Congress, inflation remains muted. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. At 7:30 a.m. on Wall Street, the European Central Bank issues minutes from its June meeting in the wake of those dovish remarks from Fed Chairman Powell. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with a preview. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The ECB's account should give us some background about the dovish switch the European Central Bank is taking. And investors will be scouring the documents from their June meeting to gauge how strong the push was for more easing. It should also give a steer about the chances of a change to forward guidance this month or a rate cut in September. Those are both what Bloomberg Economics is forecasting. Mario Draghi's already said without economic improvement, more stimulus will be needed. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Roger, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we're getting word that the Justice Department is investigating Deutsche Bank as part of a probe of Malaysia's 1MDB scandal. And Bloomberg's John Tucker has the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Sources are telling Bloomberg investigators are now taking a closer look at a former Goldman Sachs executive who later worked at Deutsche Bank. According to the Wall Street Journal, the probe aims to determine whether Deutsche Bank violated foreign corruption or anti-money laundering laws as it helped 1MDB raise $1.2 billion in 2014. So far, investigations into the Malaysian fund had mainly focused on more than $6 billion it raised in 2012 and 2013 with help from Goldman Sachs. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. The U.S. is also opening an investigation into a plan by France to impose taxes on big tech companies like Facebook and Google. Bloomberg's Sarah McGregor has more.
The U.S. Trade Representative's office has a year to conduct this investigation. France has not yet put the tax into effect. Its Senate's supposed to look at this, and then the president would even need to sign it into law. So there's still a lot of moving parts before an action could take place, but it is a pretty serious move that sort of shows that the Trump administration isn't willing to leave any stone unturned where it sees unfair practices.
The probe threatens to further strain U.S. relations with Europe as the two sides prepare to negotiate a limited trade agreement on industrial goods.
And oil is trading near a seven-week high as a potential hurricane heads toward the Gulf of Mexico. About a third of the Gulf's crude output has been cut ahead of the storm. And we get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards puts it like this. He says, quote, "This is going to be a Louisiana event with coastal flooding and heavy rainfall potentially impacting every part of the state." Chevron said it began shutting in five of its platforms in the Gulf. Royal Dutch Shell curbed production. BP and ExxonMobil have also started removing offshore personnel. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 36 cents at $60.79 a barrel. And Brent is up 0.7% or 44 cents at $67.45. S&P futures higher, up 6 points. Dow futures up 56. NASDAQ futures up 23. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:07 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. According to the UK government, the British Navy was forced to intervene to stop Iran impeding the passage of the commercial oil tanker in the Strait of Hormuz. In a UK statement, three Iranian vessels attempted to impede the passage of the British Heritage and issued verbal warnings to the Iranian vessels, which then turned away. President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, is in danger of avoiding a prison term. U.S. prosecutors said that his new legal strategy had prompted them to reassess their two-year-old cooperation agreement. Flynn has backed away from his earlier statements to authorities since changing lawyers last month and retaining an attorney harshly critical of the Mueller investigation. Vice President Mike Pence said that he was happy that Labor Secretary Alex Acosta held a news conference to explain his role in the Jeffrey Epstein case over a decade ago.
Well, every member of our cabinet serves at the pleasure of the president. We were pleased to see Secretary Acosta step forward.
Acosta gave an explanation defending his decision to negotiate a plea deal with Epstein in a 2008 case in Florida that allowed the financier to serve a lesser sentence on state charges of prostitution.
Epstein got an ultimatum: plead guilty to a charge that would require jail time and registration, or face federal charges. And that was the week, more than 10 years ago, that Epstein went to jail.
Epstein pleaded not guilty to new charges in New York. President Trump hosts a social media event at the White House today and leaves out some of the biggest names in tech. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
While the White House bills it as a robust conversation to bring together digital leaders, it won't say why Facebook, Twitter, and Google weren't invited, while reps from several conservative groups, including the Heritage Foundation, were, along with a list of right-leaning media figures, lawmakers, and Trump supporters. Just last week, Trump told Fox's Tucker Carlson big tech firms are totally against him and doing some things that are possibly illegal, though he wouldn't say if there's a formal investigation.
I don't want to even say whether or not they're doing something, but I will tell you there are a lot of people that want us to.
Policy experts tell Bloomberg the White House could just be looking to rally political support rather than developing new tech policies. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschke.
Good morning, Nathan. While the Yankees and Mets continue their All-Star break, the Yankees home Friday versus Toronto, while the Mets are in Miami, all eyes shifting across the pond for what's sure to make for a great weekend at Wimbledon. The committee got the seeding right as number two Roger Federer will battle third-seeded Rafael Nadal one more time on Friday. The winner faces either top seed Novak Djokovic or another up-and-coming Spaniard, Roberto Bautista Agut. Serena Williams looks to advance into the semis this morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. It came at the expense of knocking off fellow American Allison Risk.
Just needed to just fight. Allison was, she played so great throughout the whole tournament. She's beaten so many amazing players that has been players that have had great years. You know, she was not giving it to me. I needed to step up and take it, and that's what I had to do.
Should Serena advance, she could meet former world number one Simona Halep. Basketball. The Nets are doing their part to set up for a successful season. Brooklyn included about $1 million in yearly performance-based incentives into the max contracts for both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That was a tweak allowing them to maneuver to fit the contracts for DeAndre Jordan and second-round pick Nicholas Claxton into the cap space. Add this to the growth of Jarrett Allen, who had a double-double against Orlando in the Summer League on Wednesday, makes up for a good season. Meanwhile, sad news for Yankees fans as Jim Boughton, former Yankees pitcher who shocked and angered the conservative baseball world with his tell-all book, Ball 4, has died. He was 80 years old. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, the U.S. women's soccer team celebrated its World Cup victory coast-to-coast yesterday. First, the ticker tape parade in New York City. Then the women jetted off to the West Coast to collect trophies at the ESPYs that same night. Alex Morgan won Female Athlete of the Year and shared the Best Team Award with the World Cup champion U.S. Women's Soccer Team. S&P futures ahead by 8 points now. Dow futures up 73 points. NASDAQ futures up 29.5. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street as the Fed signals potentially deep rate cuts. Could markets move even higher? We speak with Diane Jaffe, Senior Portfolio Manager at TCW Group next. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European equities climbing alongside U.S. stock index futures and Asian shares as investors cheer fresh signs from central bankers that rates are headed lower. Treasuries are rising, the dollar is falling, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 72, NASDAQ futures up 31, the DAX in Germany up about 0.2%, 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.04%, yield on the 2-year 1.79%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 40 cents to $60.83 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $13.20 to $14.2570 an ounce. The euro 1.1271 against the dollar and the yen 108.09. And we are watching today for a report on consumer prices at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at 9:45. And Delta Airlines among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Iran apparently tried but failed to seize a British tanker. According to the British Navy, it was forced to intervene to stop Iran from impeding the passage of the commercial oil tanker British Heritage in the Strait of Hormuz. The UK government says the Iranian vessels turned away after verbal warnings from Britain. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's hopes of avoiding a prison term could be in jeopardy after prosecutors said that his new legal strategy had prompted them to reassess their 2-year-old cooperation agreement. At Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer face each other in the men's semifinals tomorrow. Novak Djokovic will face Roberto Bautista Agut. Today, in the women's semifinals, Serena Williams and Simona Halep play their respective matches. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Diane Jaffe joins us this morning, Senior Portfolio Manager at TCW Group, as we can continue to watch the market reaction to the first day of Powell testimony on Capitol Hill yesterday. And that reaction seems to be buy everything, Diane.
It's looking that way. we're getting indications that the Fed is ready to move, that they're going to be proactive and want to extend the cycle, and that could really be positive for mid-cycle stocks, which I think have had, you know, hadn't had the depth of support from investors recently.
Which stocks are you looking at?
I'm looking at, industrial stocks, cyclical stocks, things that will do better if the economy gets a little spurt from lower interest rates.
So how big a lift do you think an interest rate cut could bring to those mid-cycle stocks? I mean, we're already at record highs right now.
There are a lot of have-nots and haves in the market. Technology has been on a run, of course. I'm getting a little nervous because technology is such a big component now of the S&P 500 and the Russell 1000 growth. In the Russell 1000 growth index, it's close to 37%. They've been the immediate beneficiaries of the relaxed trade tensions and, you know, some waivers with Huawei. But the other stocks, the cyclical stocks, you know, really have not gotten the oomph before, but they could with lower interest rates.
Is there a risk that if the Fed moves too quickly on rates that it could lead to a crash?
I think investors should be nervous that there is, you know, too much euphoria going on and not enough reality based on what the earnings are going to bring in the Q2. We're expecting Q2 earnings to be relatively tame. We know that, you know, the U.S. GDP estimates, U.S. GDP now are between 1 and 1.5%. But this is why the Fed is acting.
When you look at industrials, I mean, you think about, the continued headwinds from the U.S.-China trade. Obviously, Chairman Powell addressed that on Capitol Hill yesterday about trade tensions weighing on the outlook. Would a rate cut counteract that in terms of the trade tension?
Well, it will give investors confidence. It will help give businesses some confidence. But as long as there's uncertainty with tariffs and trade, I don't think we're businesses are going to be all in for capital expenditures yet.
Does the earnings outlook, is the earnings outlook for sectors like industrials affected by the trade tensions?
Yes. Companies have really moved pretty quickly starting in July of last year to reconfigure their supply chains. We expect most of that to be completed by the end of this current quarter, but that we still are facing some uncertainty because of trade tensions.
And what about your outlook for the rate path for the rest of the year? I mean, a lot of the focus now is on this month. What do you think the Fed could do as the year progresses?
There are estimates for as many as, 50 to 75 bips in total rate cuts in the U.S. for 2019. They are data dependent, so a lot's going to particularly, we're going to be getting the CPI index, so that's not their favorite index, but they want to see some signs of life in inflation, and they have not yet.
You're still thinking that the Fed is data dependent as opposed to listening to signals from the market in terms of the rate path?
Well, Powell said yesterday that they haven't gotten any indications that the economy is strengthening that would alter their public comments from the most recent Fed meeting. So, yes, I think they feel that expectations for a global slowdown have continued to increase, and they are now focusing on the inflation factor, which their most favored index is the PCE, which is at about 1.5% year over year, so very far below their 2% guideline. So, I think they have the data to make the cuts as near as this July meeting.
Diane Jaffe, Senior Portfolio Manager at TCW Group. Thanks again for joining us here on Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to assess Powell's comments from yesterday and await what he'll say to the Senate Banking Committee later this morning. We will have live coverage from Capitol Hill beginning just after 10 a.m. Wall Street time. In the meantime, as we look at futures contracts, they are pointed toward record highs once again, with S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 76, NASDAQ futures up almost 33 points. The 10-year up 4/32, the yield 2.04%, and the 2-year yield is 1.79%.
1.5%. Stay with us for more of Fed Chair Powell's testimony, plus all the latest news in business, economics, and finance on Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. At 5:25 on Wall Street, you are listening to Bloomberg Radio, streaming live 24 hours a day on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, the iHeartRadio app, and Bloomberg.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning ahead of a second day of congressional testimony from Jerome Powell. Yesterday, the Fed chairman signaled a willingness to lower rates, citing a slowing global economy and trade issues.
The uncertainties around global growth and trade continue to weigh on the outlook. In addition, inflation continues to be muted, and those things are still in place.
Powell's comments on Capitol Hill have traders all but certain a rate cut is on the way. Former Richmond Fed President Al Broaddus.
The really strong rationale is the persistent weakness in the inflation rate and the need for the Fed to do something to shore up the credibility of its inflation target. Inflation has been below 2%, the 2% target, for a long time.
Powell speaks this morning before the Senate Banking Committee. Ahead of his testimony, tune in for a conversation with the new president of the Richmond Fed. Tom Barkin sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
Meanwhile, a key measure of U.S. inflation, the Core Consumer Price Index, is due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. It's forecast to have increased 0.2% in June, while the broader CPI reading remains unchanged.
An hour before that, at 7:30, the European Central Bank publishes an account of its June policy meeting. Most economists expect the ECB to announce more stimulus by September at the latest.
Shares of Deutsche Bank are down about 0.5%. Bloomberg News has learned the U.S. Justice Department is investigating the German lender as part of a probe into Malaysia's 1MDB investment fund.
Bed Bath & Beyond shares are down nearly 4% in early trading. The retailer's comparable sales for the first quarter missed estimates.
The U.S. will investigate a French plan to impose taxes on big tech companies like Facebook and Google. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer will have up to a year to examine whether the plan would hurt U.S. companies.
And Swiss Re has suspended the IPO of its British unit, ReAssure. The world's second largest reinsurer cited weak demand among institutional investors. The ReAssure offering implied a market value of up to $4.1 billion.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 9 points. Dow futures up 75. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.79%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 31 cents at $60.75 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.9% or $12.60. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards is issuing a state of emergency ahead of the threat of a hurricane this weekend. Bel Edwards warns there could be a considerable amount of overtopping of levees if a weekend hurricane follows torrential rain flooded streets.
We don't know yet where this storm is going to land, but we know it's going to be a big storm, a significant rain and storm surge event.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard has denied British allegations of a confrontation in the Strait of Hormuz, saying if it had received orders to seize any ships, it would have executed them immediately. Britain says three Iranian vessels unsuccessfully tried to impede the passage of a British commercial vessel through the Strait of Hormuz and only turned away after receiving verbal warnings from a UK Navy vessel. Michael Flynn's hopes of avoiding a prison term could be in jeopardy after U.S. prosecutors said that his new legal strategy had prompted them to reassess their 2-year-old cooperation agreement. The former Trump National Security Advisor pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta says that when he was a federal prosecutor in Florida, His office acted appropriately when it came to the secret plea deal offered to hedge fund manager Jeffrey Epstein a decade ago in a molestation case. Democrats have been calling for Acosta's resignation. Trump administration officials signal support for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong and defiance toward the Chinese government by granting a series of high-level meetings this week to a Hong Kong bookseller who has drawn the ire of Beijing. More from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Hong Kong publisher and democracy advocate Jimmy Lai is no friend to China these days, as hundreds of thousands of protesters in Hong Kong have expressed disapproval of their local leaders and with China's influence over the former British colony. Visiting Washington, Lai met yesterday with National Security Advisor John Bolton, following earlier meetings with Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Pompeo, and several Republican senators. Beijing has taken note, China's foreign ministry said, by repeatedly interfering in Hong Kong affairs, the U.S. has sent seriously wrong signals to the world. Lai's meetings came just as the U.S. and China are working to get stalled trade talks back on track. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. We're down to the final four on the grass courts of Wimbledon for both the men and women as action underway this morning from England. Serena Williams looks for yet another Grand Slam title, returning to her prime form of late as she battles Czech's Barbara Strikova. Should Williams advance, she could face former number one Simona Halep on Saturday. Serena's in action at 10 a.m. Eastern. On the men's side, top-seeded Novak Djokovic plays Spain's Roberto Bautista Agut for the right to face Rafi or Roger as the icons Nadal and Federer square off in another semifinal on Friday. The men's championship is on Sunday. Baseball. A New York polarizing figure has passed away. Former Yankee great pitcher Jim Bouton, who was later a best-selling author, actor, and top-rated New York sportscaster, has died at age 80. He was known for pushing the barriers of commonplace sports coverage.
I wanted to show a variety of sports events, particularly those sports events that people weren't used to seeing on television. When I rode a Brahma bull, I actually cracked one of my ribs and had to go to the emergency room at the local hospital.
Bolton's controversial book, Ball 4, A Tell-All, was banned by the commissioner, despite the New York Public Library recognizing the book as one of the most influential of our time in the sports world. His Yankees host the Blue Jays Friday to kick off the second half, while the Mets head south to visit the Marlins. Into the association, the Nets have included about $1 million in yearly performance-based incentives to the max contracts of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, which allowed them to fit in deals for second-round pick Nicholas Claxton and DeAndre Jordan. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
Thank you, Rob. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the heist issue with stories on robbers, hackers, and thieves, including how to hack a hotel. Pat Clark wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
From the very moment we walked into the hotel, one of the guys I was with walked along the sort of the front desk while one of the other hackers was checking in. And he noticed at the end of the front desk, there were a bunch of computers to process credit card payments. And all the way over there at the end of the front desk, there were machines where nobody was sitting. The screens weren't locking. So theoretically, he could have reached over the counter and, you know, slipped a little USB drive into the end of the machine and all of a sudden been logging, you know, every keystroke that the machine made.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. A surge of high-end development in Brooklyn is pushing up apartment rents. Not including landlord concessions, median rent in the borough climbed 5.9% from a year ago to $2,914, the biggest gain since February of 2016, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Well, those firms also report that the single-family home sales in Winchester jumped by the most in 3 years, as falling mortgage rates roused buyers and eased concerns about those U.S. tax law changes. Completed deals for the second quarter were up more than 14%. An historic New Jersey business is celebrating 130 years of operating in the Garden State. General Pencil makes high-quality drawing and school pencils. The company's operated out of Jersey City since 1889. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting a contract agreement for some 6,600 General Electric workers has been rejected.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Gulf operators have been shutting oil and gas production ahead of the strengthening storm.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a small ray of optimism in the housing market, which sees an increase in new buyers for the first time since 2016.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Benjamin Moore will become the main paint supplier for Ace Hardware, pushing out Sherwin-Williams.
And as earnings season begins this week, we get second quarter results from Delta Airlines this morning. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the main concern about Delta is the challenge of boosting fares in a competitive environment. Domestic yields have inched higher while transatlantic and Asian yields declined. Strong capacity additions will pressure fares and profitability. The consensus among forecasters is that Delta will post an adjusted profit of $2.28 a share on revenue of nearly $12.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures ahead by 70. NASDAQ futures up 29.5. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, could it be a new trade dispute online between the U.S. and Europe? We get more on that when we check in with Bloomberg Opinion straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are climbing along with U.S. stock index futures as investors cheered fresh signs from central bankers that rates are headed lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 8 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.05%, the yield on the 2-year 1.79%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 32 cents at $60.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.9% or $12.30 to $14.24.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1269 against the dollar. The yen 108.16. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there is more tension in the Persian Gulf as the UK accuses Iran of trying unsuccessfully to impede the passage of a British commercial vessel through the Strait of Hormuz. Tehran denies it attempted to interfere with the vessel. The U.S. is preparing to arrest thousands of members of undocumented families. According to the New York Times, it's scheduled to start on Sunday. The weather system, expected to grow into a tropical depression later today, is churning along the Gulf Coast. Flood watches and warnings are out across the area. At Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer face each other in the men's semifinals tomorrow. Novak Djokovic faces Roberto Bautista Agut. Today, in the women's semifinals, Serena Williams and Simona Halep play their respective matches. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Joining us from our London bureau, Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan. And Jen, we've been reporting on the U.S. opening investigation into a potential French tax on big tech companies like Facebook and Google. Lino Laurent has a piece out on that this morning. What's his take on the situation?
Well, the levy, it's a 3% levy on sales made in the country by tech companies with more than $845 million of global revenue. And so not only is big tech protesting this, but the U.S. has joined in, and it's starting a probe under Section 301 of the U.S. Trade Act, alleging harm against American interests. Laurent says that President Trump has been certainly hunting for reasons to extract trade concessions from the European Union, and digital taxes certainly fit this bill.
Yeah, and you hear Section 301, that perks up a lot of people's ears.
It does indeed, because it's this type of inquiry that Trump has used against China to attack it with unilateral tariffs. So the situation here isn't about patiently waiting for a ruling from the World Trade Organization. Laurent says this is the stuff of trade wars. It's interesting also that Paris is being singled out for both political and tactical reasons. Several other countries are introducing a digital tax as well. And, you know, France would kind of happily go along with any OECD solution and ditch the levy that it's proposed. But what's really motivating Trump's team is the chance to drive a wedge between French President Emmanuel Macron and his Eurozone partners. Macron has really made a virtue of opposing Trump. He was the only European leader to openly object to starting trade talks with the U.S., and he's fighting to keep the Iran nuclear deal alive. So attacking the tech tax is just another way for Trump to apply countermeasures.
Yeah, so is it possible that that is the wedge that drives Europe apart? I mean, what happens next here?
I mean, it is going to be a really big test of whether Europe will stand by France despite the obvious divide and rule tactics from the White House. You know, an EU or OECD agreement on digital taxes would make a lot more sense than a lot of different messy national solutions. And this would help prevent Trump opportunistically singling out individual victims. Unfortunately, this is all easier said than done. So Trump is a true test of European unity. And it looks like Europe hasn't even passed yet.
All right, let's move on to another U.S. investigation. This one settled involving Reckitt. It's agreed to pay as much as $1.4 billion to deal with a probe into the sales and marketing of its opioid addiction treatment. Andrea Felstad is writing about this morning.
Yeah, she's looking for a start at the amount of the fine. $1.4 billion far exceeds the $400 million provision that Reckitt had set aside. I mean, and it certainly isn't helpful to the company's balance sheet. There's an estimate that the net debt to EBITDA ratio will increase to 2.8 times by the end of the year.
Does Felstad think Reckitt did the right thing by settling for such an amount?
Well, look, from the standpoint of corporate strategy, this certainly draws a line under the issue. Reckitt's denied any wrongdoing and said the settlement was in the best interest of the company and its investors. Her point is that Reckitt can now move forward with its strategy unencumbered. Outgoing chief executive Rakesh Kapoor deserves credit for finalizing the matter before his departure in a few months' time.
All right, so it can move forward, but is it going to be smooth sailing for Reckitt here?
It's a good question because the company faces significant challenges. Chief among them is reinvigorating sales growth, which has stalled. And Reckitt's just kind of got to take this decision about whether it can maintain its industry-leading margins or whether it's got to sacrifice some profitability in order to increase investment. I mean, at least now the company can pursue a breakup. It had split into two divisions, one focused on household products and the other on consumer health. And the question is whether or not the new CEO will be willing to push this to its logical conclusions, perhaps with a separation. But at least now, if he wants to do this, this can happen without the U.S. legal risks hanging over him.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor, thank you. As always, you can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion by heading over to Bloomberg.com/opinion. And if you're a Bloomberg Terminal subscriber, just type in OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're following this morning with John Tucker.
As negotiations continue over House Democrats' $15-an-hour minimum wage bill, a new tax credit has been proposed for small businesses to help them absorb the increase. The Federal Communications Commission will vote next month to establish a new $20.4 billion program aimed at expanding internet access to underserved parts of the United States. And access to employment-based green cards no longer would be determined by an applicant's country of birth under a bill that passed the House. The caps have resulted in some immigrants facing a decades-long wait to become permanent residents.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
John, thank you. Now, another legal development we're watching this morning. The future of Obamacare, once again in jeopardy. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments this week on whether the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. Massachusetts is one of the parties defending the law. And for more on the story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to State Attorney General Maura Healey.
Will you explain the basic argument in the case?
To provide some context, remember it was years ago that Congress passed the Affordable Care Act. It was challenged. The Supreme Court ruled that the ACA was constitutional. Republican members of Congress tried 70 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act. It's when you saw people take to the streets and town halls and protest, and ultimately they failed in the effort to repeal. Now, what happened is a group of Republican state AGs and governors filed a lawsuit to try this from a different angle, and that is to challenge the ACA in court. And at the time, the Justice Department was supposed to, consistent with its constitutional duty and obligation, defend the ACA. But what's happened, unfortunately, is that the Justice Department is not defending the ACA, and a number of states like Massachusetts, California, New York, and others have joined now to defend the Affordable Care Act because it is imperative that we keep this law in place. Lives depend on it. Our healthcare markets depend on it. And unfortunately, this is just another effort to sabotage access to care and really wreak havoc with the system.
When the Texas judge struck down the law in December, many legal experts said it was an outlier decision. It wouldn't survive an appeals court. But most observers at the hearings yesterday say that two of the three judges appeared to side with the Republican state's arguments.
Well, let me say a couple things. First, I'm not going to read much into the questions asked by the judges on the Fifth Circuit. I think we need to wait to see what their ruling is. But I agree that the district court's decision is an outlier. In my view, it is not consistent with the law. It does not follow the law. And that's exactly why this matter has been appealed now to the Fifth Circuit. I expect it to go to the Supreme Court, and hopefully the Supreme Court will rule in a way that once again preserves the Affordable Care Act. Because, you know, what this is about, it's not about anything more than politics and really trying to undo something that happened during the Obama administration.
And that's Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning higher. S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 81, Nasdaq futures up 32, the DAX in Germany up almost 0.2%, the FTSE 100 is up about the same, the CAC in Paris is up 0.3%, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.80%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 33 cents at $60.76 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $12 to $14.24.40 an ounce. And the euro 1.1269 against the dollar. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.